Strange. How is it going, ladies and gentlemen? We are back once again with another episode of Pucking Around. Past the, Christmas time, New Year's, and all that. Hope everyone had a good holiday season. But we're back with Hockey Talk. As always, here on the Rebian Preview Sports Network, I am your host, Noah Dibler, joined by my co-host and resident Islanders fan, Brady Campbell. Brady, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. As far as hockey goes and the Islanders, it's kind of back and forth, I guess, as it normally is. But overall, had a pretty good Christmas break and excited kind of as we transition here into the 2024 portion of the season. Of course, we just had the Winter Classic. The All-Star teams are starting to be announced here, and we're kind of moving not quite into like the final stretch per se, but things are going to start to heat up, of course, the trade deadline in the next few months as well.
Yeah, definitely. We got a lot to discuss coming up. We're going to talk about, you know, a couple teams tonight. We're going to talk about my Pens, which, you know, I'm sure you'll be very thrilled about with some of the results they've had lately, especially against your Islanders. We're also going to talk about the Maple Leafs, them making some interesting moves. We'll see, kind of project how they're going to do the rest of the season. Talk a bit about some transactions that have happened the past couple weeks. And then, of course, as always, towards the end, we're going to do our teams of the week. Some really good names on there. But, hope everyone had, a nice holiday season. I know Brady and I did. So, we're back to business. So let's go ahead and get right into it. We're going to start with the Pittsburgh Penguins, Brady. Now, the Pens have been remarkable lately. When I was doing this banner last night, and they are playing the Bruins right now, so not too confident about that. But when I was looking at this last night, Brady, I knew they were going on a good run, but looking at some of the numbers they've had, it has surprised me. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They also had a six-game point streak, 1-5, and then lost one game in overtime. They're back to 500 now. I think their record is 18-14-4, so that's, 40 points in 36 games. So, technically above 500, but, as always, if you include overtime losses, well, they're a 500 team right now. But, the thing is, Brady, they've been on this great run, but because the Metro has been so good this season, as pretty much everyone expected, they're still only seventh in the division. They're only ahead of the Columbus Blue Jackets right now. Obviously, the Rangers still leading the way, but, if you look at the standings real quick, they are still, 4 points behind your Islanders for third in the division. They do have a game in hand, but, you're talking 6 points, Brady, separating second place from seventh place. So, as a fan of a team who has seen your guys play the Pens two times, just the last week pretty much, what have been your takeaways from what you've seen and, kind of what you expect from down the stretch? Do you think this is kind of maybe them turning their season around, or do you think, it's probably just, kind of a blip on the radar and the division's just a little bit too tough?
I think it's like really hard to tell just because of how tough the division is. I think this is like a great start for them as far as turning their season around. But like you mentioned, while they've gotten pretty much back to 500 and put themselves kind of back into the conversation division wise, they're still in like seventh, which is unbelievable to me. That and not only that too, the wild card spot, they're competing with some Atlantic teams as well, Detroit, Tampa. So it's definitely going to be tough, but they've been playing very well as of late. They got themselves right back into the conversation, as I mentioned. I got to see firsthand how well they were playing like a week ago. And then, of course, they beat us again. But they've been playing very well. I believe they just lost to Washington a few nights ago, and now they're playing Boston. So a little bit of a tough stretch here with these few games this week. But when you're hot basically. And who knows? I watch my Islanders almost beat the Bruins. So, and the Penguins are playing very good hockey right now. I would give them a shot in this game. While the Bruins have had a very good record this season, they have played some very tight games. Whereas last year, I feel like it was just win, and like win after win. This year, things have been a little tight, even with how good they are. And with the way the Penguins have played overall for the last week or two, I definitely give them a decent shot tonight. And like I said, really tough to tell if this is kind of just like a flash in the pan type of thing, and they kind of start to not like slide, but maybe fall out of contention a little bit as the months progress, or if this is actually something, because they're still kind of towards the bottom of the division. But at some point you got to turn it around. I mean, we saw what happened a few years back with the Blues when they were all the way at the bottom, and then come June, they're Stanley Cup champions. I'm not saying that's, you know, what's going to happen, but you got to start somewhere. And I think, you know, eventually they're going to start running out of time. So this is a good start.
Yeah. I hear a lot of what you're saying. I think, as you know, a Pins fan who's not delusional, like a lot of them are, I'm going to be honest, a lot of them are, you know, their heads in the clouds pretty much. In the preseason, I predicted the Pins to miss the playoffs, which I think I either did the same last year. I had him as a second wild card, but you know, I'm a very realistic Pins fan. Some would even say I'm very pessimistic. So, you know, when I look at their team, I don't see that glaring weakness like you see in a lot of other teams. Like when we talk about teams like Edmonton, which I know Stuart Skinner has been lighting up lately, but you know, it's always, oh, what's their goaltending and defense going to do? Kind of same thing with Toronto, or, you know, a team like even your Islanders. The question is always, well, once they get the playoffs, can they score enough goals to win these games? Because we know they can, you know, get it done defensively and obviously in net. When I look at them, you know, I don't see that glaring weakness. I just think, I don't know if they have enough overall, because number one, I like Tristan Jarry. I don't think he's terrible, but I think he's a good regular season goaltender, but I think we've seen a lot in the past. Once he gets to playoffs, he kind of struggles a bit. The rest of the team, I think they're pretty top heavy. I mean, the Brian Rust injury definitely didn't hurt, but you know, it's the same guys, Brady, that, you know, year after year since 2018, when they had, you know, they had that close series, the Caps, and lost, they just, you know, they haven't been able to get it done when they get to the playoffs. And guys like Crosby, Crosby's been incredible this year. Gensel's been getting going. He's been one of the best players in the league recently. I think Malkin has really surprised me as well. Carlson has done better than I thought he would as well. And obviously, you know, Letang has gone on a pretty good run as well. But, you know, I just think once you get past the superstars, you know, those top five guys, I just really think that there was a big drop-off, especially when Brian Rust was out. I mean, you know, your next leading scorer after Brian Rust is Riley Smith. You know, guys like Drew O'Connor, Lars Eller. Like, if this is, you know, what you're having in your bottom six or whatever, I think they're going to be, you know, if they do make the playoffs, which, you know, like you said, I think it's very competitive. I'm not, you know, putting it out there that they will. I think their lack of depth could be a problem. I think, you know, Tristan Jarry's, I don't know what it is when he gets to the playoffs, but he just struggles. He always does pretty good in the regular season, but, you know, it's a completely different animal in the postseason. I think Wayne Gretzky said it best where he said that there's three different seasons in hockey. There's the regular season, first three rounds of the playoffs, and then the finals. I think hit the nail on the head, because, you know, you see guys like Jarry that they can get it done, you know, in January or whatever, but once it gets to late April, you know, I don't know if the pressure is too much or what it is. You know, I think they could make the playoffs? Yes. Do I think they're going to do anything significant? Not in my opinion, just because I think, you know, there's been better teams, Brady, the past 5 years that they've had, that haven't even been able to make it out of the first round. You know, teams, you know, they still had guys like Kessel and Hornqvist that were really good that passed, you know, the elite guys, and they still couldn't really get anything going. The Metro is just, it's so tough, man. Like, I think the Rangers, you could argue that the best team in the Eastern Conference. The Hurricanes are getting it going again. You know, actually, fun fact, Brady, you know, the Pens did go on this great run. They got 15 points in 10 games, but so did the Hurricanes. So, you know, it's like, How much ground do they actually, you know, gain anyway? And then you look at the Atlantic, which you always talk about is just tough as hell, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. But I don't know, man. You know, I wouldn't say I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic, but, like, I'm not all in just yet. And obviously we saw last year with the Bruins, like you mentioned, just steamrolling everybody. The regular season ultimately doesn't mean much because, you know, I mean, it's important for seeding or whatnot, but once you get to a seven-game playoff series – you know, it's a completely different ball game. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I want to see him move up a few spots in the Metro first. You know, at least get to like fifth or fourth before I start thinking, okay, maybe they can do something.
Yeah, and I do agree with what you said about kind of three different seasons. And you see, even with whole teams, like the last few years, we've seen a bunch of like the top teams in the league kind of go on these incredible record-breaking season runs and then get to the playoffs and either like fizzle out almost immediately in the first round, or they kind of just run out of juice in the middle rounds. Mm-hmm. And you see it with a lot of players too, as you mentioned, Tristan Jarry. I mean, obviously I'm not a Pens fan, but I have, I guess, kind of seen firsthand in a couple playoff series over the last few years where he hasn't really had in the playoffs, but I've also seen a few times in the regular season against us and just in other games as well, where he's had some pretty good ones. So he's kind of, you never know exactly what you're going to get from him. Mm-hmm. It seems a little bit like more focused to the regular season is better. Playoffs, he's not great, but yeah, like I said, I think it's a great kind of start for them here to get things going. But the Hurricanes are on fire, which, by the way, they're kind, I mean, it's still 5 points, but they're kind of making things a little close with the Rangers now. They did just smoke the Rangers the other night as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking about the Rangers probably winning the division, and they're still playing some good hockey, but teams are kind of closing the gap a little, which makes it for an even more insane Metro. But, yeah, like you said, the Pens have had a pretty good run, but it doesn't really feel like they made up any ground when teams like the Canes are going on these runs. And even teams like the Islanders kind of playing 500-ish hockey the last few weeks or so, the Caps as well. And that's going to make it tough for kind of the teams trying to work their way up.
I will say, you know, before we move on quick here, Brady, one positive note I want to mention about the Metro, which I don't think you mentioned. The Flyers have already dropped down from second place when they last talked to fourth place, and the Devils and Capitals are 1 point behind them, both of the game in hand, so they could be sixth in a little bit. And, I mean, Crosby just absolutely owns the Flyers in the past couple of years. So, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I think it's kind of like a, you know, fool me once kind of thing, man. Like, you know, I've seen this all before with this team. I think it was last season. They started off incredible. They were first in the Metro. They looked good. And then it was just like a nosedive in the last game of the season, or the second to last game of the season, where they needed a win against Chicago. They lost to a team which had a third pair defenseman playing center. And I will say one thing I do like about this streak is, and you can attest as an Islanders fan, the Islanders are one of those teams that I don't know what it is in the regular season. They just absolutely own us. Like, I swear it was either like 3-0-1 last season or 4-0. Like, it was just not even competitive. So the fact that they did beat the Islanders, who are kind of their bogey team lately, I thought that was a good sign. But, you know, I'm just I'm also worried about the conditioning because these guys are so old. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But speaking of a team that is not so old, we're going to talk about the Leafs. Now, I will say, a quick disclaimer, as I was telling Brady before we started the show here, I put this topic together about 3 days ago, and then what do you know, the Leafs decided to win the last two games, go figure. But yeah, we're going to talk about the kind of, you know, a mediocre run for the Leafs lately. They did get an OT win last night against the Ducks. I do want to say about the Ducks real quick, not that they're the topic. Leo Dostal last night had like 55 saves. He was absolutely incredible, kept that team in the game. Man, that team is just so bad, but he did all he could pretty much. But, yep, you know, we'll see what they do with the lottery with the Ducks. But for the Leafs, you know, once again, you know, it's always the goaltending issue that we discuss, right? But, you know, we're going to get into them letting go of Samsonov in a bit. But Martin Jones, you know, has kind of taken over there as their consistent guy, and he has been incredible lately. He got the shutout the other night, and then he only gave up one goal last night against the Ducks. I think it's something like 58 shots that he's faced in the last two games. He saved 57 of them. He's been really good, but at the same time, Brady, you know, we've seen Martin Jones play in the league for about a decade, and we kind of know what he is. You know, he's a decent journeyman starter who'll come in here and there, and he will have good runs every now and then, but I don't know if he's that guy that, you know, as your number one is going to take you all the way. And obviously that's, you know, what a team like the Leafs is looking for, because they haven't won a cup since, what is it, 1967 or whatever. And they've had this revolving door of goalies. So, you know, what have been your takeaways from what the Leafs have been doing lately? I mean, Austin Matthews is killing it. He scored his 30th goal last night, I think. They got those, you know, top line forwards, but you know, I think it is just, despite the incredible run by Martin Jones, I mean, you know, like I said, this isn't a guy that's, you know, a proven elite goalie or anything. We kind of know what he is at some point. He's going to fall back down to earth. So what have been your takeaways from how the Leafs have been, you know, playing lately and what you expect from them going forward?
Yeah, I just feel like this season's kind of been like we've seen this before. It just feels like it's going to end pretty much the same way that it has in the past with, you know, like a first or second round maybe playoff exit, unless they're one of those teams that has kind of a good enough regular season and then flips the switch. Usually it's a bit of the opposite. But, yeah, kind of towards the end of last month, they had a few, like, pretty bad losses too. And now Buffalo – a few weeks ago, they're not necessarily a bad team. They're kind of young and they're still trying to find their way. They're not like bad though, but like they lost 9-3. Then you lose back-to-back games to Ottawa and Columbus. And for a team like the Leafs, who is constantly projected to be a possible top team in the league, that's almost pretty much unacceptable. I mean, I know it's still like December, but really in the Eastern Conference, every point counts. Then you lose to the Canes the next night, who, you know, obviously are going on the run themselves, but they've kind of just been really struggling as of late. William Nylander had a hot start to start the season too. I feel like they're all kind of falling back down to earth a little bit, maybe with the exception of Matthews. But like we were talking about last show with the Oilers, It really, I feel like, does come down to the goaltending. We'll get to the Oilers' goaltending in a little bit. Actually, this past week, it was surprisingly pretty good. But, yeah, they kind of, like you said, Martin Jones, not necessarily like a number one guy per se. He can fill that role for, like, you know, a period of time. But it's kind of tough to have, like, a full – and even when they had Ilya Samsonov, like, he, You know, he could be a number one guy, but, like, for an 82-game season, plus for a team that has playoff aspirations and beyond that, they're kind of just struggling a little bit right now to find their footing. And the goaltending, as you mentioned, Martin Jones played well, but almost kind of like what we were talking about with the Flyers, how long can they kind of sustain being one of those teams? And, I mean, they're always talked about. They're kind of like, I feel like the Cowboys of the NHL, where I mean the Cowboys are pretty good, but like they always kind of just fall apart just like the Leafs, and yet the media nonstop talking about them. And I know they're pretty much like the biggest mark in the league now, but it just feels like that same season again really for them. And obviously there's still time to turn it around. They're still in a pretty good spot, but once again kind of that goaltending issue and players going a little bit cold as of late. They're in the third spot, but they have teams like Tampa and Detroit kind of nipping at their heels a little bit, a few points back. So kind of like the Metro, I wouldn't say as close, but it's still very tight. No room for error for this team right now. And They seem to pick it up a little bit over the last week, but it kind of feels like they're just hovering in no man's land right now.
Yeah, like you said, you know, third in the division now because the Panthers, man, have been on an incredible run. They've won 5 in a row. They're now 3 points ahead of the Leafs. The Leafs do have a game in hand. Boston has been hot as well. They've won 4 in a row. So, you know, I think Boston, unless they absolutely collapse down the stretch, I think they'll probably win it again. I think the Leafs are looking, you know, at second and third, which, you know, whichever one you get, I don't think it's going to make a major difference because either way, I think you're going to play, you know, a really good team. I think Tampa's been so mid this season. Like, I know they were missing Vasilevsky to start the year, but I'm just kind of always expecting them to, you know, take off, and it just hasn't happened yet. They're 5-5-0 in their last 10 games. And then the rest of the teams, you know, I think these are still young teams. They're just trying to, you know, make a decent push, but I haven't seen a lot from them yet. I think the Leafs are regular season-wise, they're in a decent position, which I think they always have been consistently. Couple of score updates, actually. So we got 4 games going on right now. Pittsburgh and Boston is tied 2-2 about halfway through the first period. Nice defense, guys. And then the Sabres, Canadiens, Blackhawks, Rangers, and Blue Jackets, Flyers games are all still scores all about halfway through the first. So, yeah, interesting to see what the Leafs do. I love Matthews. You know, he's one of my favorite players. But, you know, I think at some point they always have the depth issues. The defense, you know, always struggles. And obviously, you know, I hate to keep bringing it up because it's kind of a broken record. But, like, it's the same issue year after year for them. You know, they play these teams that are – they're more physical. They're more disciplined. They're better defensively. They make way less mistakes. And then they lose convincingly. Like, that second-round series last year, it wasn't even competitive. Florida absolutely – steamrolled them out of the building after they were able to sneak past Tampa. So I don't have, you know, any major hopes for him in the playoffs, but I could be wrong. I'm wrong all the time. But, you know, unless Martin Jones has an insane, like, run like Matt Murray did when he came in, you know, at first for the playoffs or whatever, you know, I don't see anything happening. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? Third period, we're going to move on to transactions. A couple transactions happening the last week. Nothing really major, but we got a couple. The first one we've already kind of alluded to, but I want to talk about it specifically. Ilya Samsonov. Now, I think the game that really did this was, I believe it was the Blue Jackets game where they lost 6-5 in overtime. They had a big lead in that game. And now I will say this. Leafs defense is absolutely terrible. I don't think it's just the goaltending, but I don't think, you know, Samsonov was doing any favors as well. So he got waived. And apparently no one else wanted him either, Brady, because he cleared waivers and was deferred to the Toronto Marlies in the AHL. Stats for the season, 3.94 goals against average and a 862 save percentage. Like we kind of mentioned, Martin Jones has taken over, and he's, you know, been standing on his head the last couple of games for them. So, you know, what were your thoughts when you saw this move?
I want to say – maybe like a little surprising, like, oh, a team like the Leafs kind of waving their goalie, but the stats really speak for themselves. 862 save percentage, 394 goals allowed. That's really not going to cut it, especially if you're like a kind of a borderline starter for a team that's projected to kind of be up there as, you know, close to one of the top teams. And of course, on the front end, a lot of firepower: Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander. You can name them off. And like you said, I think really it is a bit of a defensive issue. They're not great at all, really, on the back end, especially this season. They've been pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, kind of the last few games he's played in, he really hasn't been great. You know, the Columbus game, partially on the defense, but they kind of had that lead, and it all just really fell apart for him late. And Columbus just – and the Leafs would get one, and then they'd give one up, and eventually it got to him. But, yeah, just not enough, like, consistent play. He could have, like, a good game here and there, but then he would, like, struggle again and really to be – and he doesn't have to be one of the top goalies in the league, but – he definitely has to kind of solidify himself as the starter, which the Leafs, even really for the past few years, haven't necessarily have had like one of like those like number one guys. Like I said, maybe not superstar material like Vasilevsky, Sorokin, Shesterkin, those guys, but they really, it hasn't been Oilers bad, but it hasn't been great. And I feel like this is the year it's finally kind of starting to show itself a little bit. They've gotten good enough play, but this year, with really kind of the exception of the last few games, we'll see if Martin Jones can kind of go on one of those Renaissance Cinderella runs, I guess, for the Leafs here. But it really doesn't look like it's going to get much better for the rest of the season. And that's why I kind of agree with you that I really don't see the Leafs being – in the end that much of like a threat for it, for like the Eastern Conference in general, when you look at the other teams they got to go up against.
3-2 Pens now. Jake Guentzel scored and the Rangers are up 1-0 as well. But of course the Bruins are on the power play. Man, no one wants to play defense in this game. Yeah, looks like happening? I don't know what's happening. Cause I'm not, you know, watching it, obviously just keeping up with it, but yeah, I don't think they've had that guy in net since like Curtis Joseph or something, which that was like 20 years ago now at this point. I mean, you know, it's been like, who would even be the best guy they've had since then? James Reimer or something like that when they blew that freaking series, the Bruins or something?
Reimer, I don't know. Freddie Anderson,
Jonathan Bernier, that's another one that I remember. But, yep, I mean, it's kind of been, you know, goalie carousel. It's like a coaching carousel, except goalies. I think you're right on the hit the nail on the head. I think Edmonton and Toronto are always very similar with how their teams have played the past few years, except I think it feels like Edmonton has it worse. That said, they have had deeper playoff runs at moments, but I also think they have better top-end players. They have the best player in the league, and they have Draisaitl, who I think is probably better than Matthews, even though I think Matthews is incredible. I think Draisaitl is just incredibly under the radar just because of who he plays behind, kind of like Geno Malkin was in his prime. So, yeah, I do think it's – I was a little surprised he got waived. I mean, I wasn't stunned because obviously he was struggling, but the fact he got waived and that no one even claimed him, I mean, this is a guy, you know, a couple of years ago that was kind of, you know, touted as a, you know, promising up-and-coming goaltender. Now it looks like, you know, his career, I'm not going to say it's over, but it's definitely, you know, in jeopardy. If not one team in the NHL, no matter how bad they're struggling, was willing to take a chance on you in waivers, I do think that's a bit concerning. So, you know, we'll see what happens with him. But for now, he's going to be in the AHL. Martin Jones will be the guy for the foreseeable future. Next transaction, the Capitals making a move on the blue line, getting Ethan Bear. Speaking of Oilers defenseman, former Oilers defenseman, I believe he's also of Cree descent. Fun fact for you right there, but signs a 2-year deal for a little over $4 million. In his career, he has 16 goals, 48 assists, and 64 points in 253 career games played. And his first two games for the Caps, Brady, you know, averaging almost 20 minutes time on ice. So this is not, you know, a minor move for the Caps, looks like. This is a guy that they expect to be, you know, a decent part of their, you know, forward core. Now, I know we talked about, their defensive core. I know we talked about the Caps a little bit in our last show and, you know, how they were kind of doing pretty well despite, you know, Ovechkin having, you know, a really slow start the season. So what are your thoughts on this move? You know, the Caps kind of, you know, shoring up their decor a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's one that can't really, I feel like, hurt the Caps all that much just because, like, their defense, I feel like their defense right now is kind of John Carlson. Then there's a bit of a drop off. Not to say that it's bad, but I feel like, you know, they could get as much depth as possible to help. And Ethan Bear, of course, starting with Edmonton, he's kind of moved around a little bit, Carolina and Vancouver before now joining Washington. So he's been around the league a little bit, but he's a solid player. I think he's great on the back end, really. He doesn't put up necessarily a whole lot of points. Obviously, he's a defenseman, but he's definitely more of like a physical defenseman, I feel like. And the Caps have been known. I mean, Ovechkin, he's a pretty physical player as well. They're not like one of those teams necessarily that is only known for their physical play, really. But they do have, of course, Ovi, Tom Wilson. And I think they almost lack that, I feel like, a little bit. Now on the defensive end when they lost guys like Siegenthaler, who I feel like brought that when he was with them. But Ethan Bear, I feel like, is a good addition for him. And like you said, they're kind of just throwing them right in there. A lot of ice time already. So like you said, I think it's an important move for them. They feel like it is to try to quickly shore up their back end in – now we flip the calendar to 2024 and we're kind of seeing things to some extent fall into place that this division is probably going to come down close to the wire for really almost all the spots. And the Caps, especially now, who people weren't really sure about, they're right in the mix for it. So I feel like this is also a move to kind of say we're going, you know, we're going to try to push hard to get really as close to the top of the division as possible. Although I don't think they'll be that high when it's all said and done, just because I feel like there are still, you know, some holes on the back end. And Darcy Kemper is a good goalie, but I do feel like their goaltending is maybe a little bit of a question mark still. But overall, I like this move for them.
I do too. I think he's a solid defenseman, like you said, and I don't think the contract is too expensive. But when I look at the Capitals overall, I think they're one of the strangest teams for me to analyze, because when you look at their statistics, like, nothing pops out at me. You know, they're pretty good defensively, which is kind of strange because, like you said, when you look at their defensive core, past John Carlson and now they add Ethan Bear, you know, there are other guys like Joel Edmondson, Nick Jensen, Rasmus Sandin. I mean, he's a little bit on the other side, but, you know, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, like, you don't look at this defensive core and see a whole lot, but, you know, they're 11th best in goals against. And get this, Brady. I mean, it's one of the most surprising stats I've seen. They're 30th in goals for, which I never thought I would see a team like the Capitals, which is always known for high scoring offense, to be that low. But I mean, like we mentioned, you know, Ovechkin only has 8 points in 36 games, or excuse me, 8 goals in 36 games this season. Also, their leading scorer with 24 points. Their offense has been really struggling. So it's kind of strange that, like you said, I don't really think they have a lot of note on the defensive core, but, you know, I guess they've been playing, you know, really good, sound, fundamental hockey to keep the puck out of the net as much as they've had without, you know, that superstar level talent on the defensive core. Goalie-wise, you know, you mentioned Darcy Kuemper. I actually thought Charlie Lindgren looked really good, but then he got placed on, you know, IR, so it has kind of gone back to Kuemper, and he's kind of struggled this season with an .893 save percentage, 3.15 goals against average. So, you know, I think they're a really strange team. You know, I don't look at them and see anything that makes them stand out, but they're 18-12-6, which is, you know, obviously, you know, point percentage wise it's well above .500. They're fifth in the Metro, which, you know, is pretty good standing considering how good the Metro is. I just don't know what to think of them. I think they could make a wild card spot again, but, you know, would they do anything past that? I just think if Ovechkin can get it going, I think that it gives their team an entire development, because they don't have Backstrom because, you know, he stepped away from hockey, which I think was massive for them. I think that really hurts Ovechkin as well. Those guys have played together for, you know, what, 15 years plus at this point?
Yep.
Like that's a massive guy to lose. That's your center you played with your whole career. And, you know, Ovechkin, don't get me wrong, he's a, you know, workout warrior and whatnot to, you know, slow down age as much as he has, but he's still 38 years old. And, you know, who's that, you know, number two offensive option for them? You know, I think there isn't that guy that's really stepped up when he's been struggling. No TJ Oshie as well. So I think they could make the wild card. I don't know if they do anything past that. I think they have to show something that they haven't shown so far this season. But I do think getting Ethan Barron is a good move. I think he's a solid defense. And like you said, he's not, you know, he's not the anything elite. He's not, you know, going to, you know, revolutionize your team or anything. But for $2 million a year, I mean, this is a guy with NHL experience. He's pretty young. He's 26 years old. You know, pretty solid at both ends of the ice. Nothing special, but, you know, he kind of gets the job done. So, you know, if he adds 20 points or whatever with his defensive efforts, I think it's a good move for him. But I'm interested to see what they do as the season progresses. Now, the last one, this one is kind of interesting. I put this in mainly for you because I know you're a big Islanders guy. So the Blackhawks claiming Jacob Megna, fun facts, brother of Jason Megna, former Pittsburgh Penguin. They claimed him off of waivers from the Seattle Kraken. And in a corresponding move, they placed Anthony Beauvillier on waivers injured reserve. It shouldn't say waivers there, with a left wrist injury. He had 4 goals and 14 points in 37 games played this season. Now, I know Beauvillier, Brady, was with the Islanders for a few years, so do you have any particular thoughts on, you know, on him in general, or, you know, if you think this is a big move at all for the Blackhawks losing him?
Well, looking at the Beauvillier side of things, I don't like – Beauvillier was actually – he was one of my favorite players with the Islanders. I still have his jersey in my closet. But, yeah, I hate to see it. I feel like he has struggled a bit, though, when that trade happened with Bo Horvat. You know, he started off pretty good in Vancouver last season once that trade happened, and towards the end of the season didn't really do too much. This season he started out very slow, and as kind of the point show, I mean, he's not obviously in like the elite company usually or anywhere necessarily close to that, but he was a very solid player with the Islanders, of course, playing with Barzal and those guys a lot. Definitely helped, but I mean, it's not like with the Blackhawks, it's kind of Connor Bedard and not much else. But even with the Canucks, I mean, they weren't as good last year as they are this year, but he definitely had some talent around them. I think he's one of those guys that kind of feeds off that talent, and maybe, you know, the stats look a little bit better when he's playing with other guys, but he's a very quick skater, and he's a very, like, good hockey IQ player and all that, so – it's tough to see kind of this move being made. Once I saw him kind of go to the Blackhawks, I really felt bad for him because
they
are not very good. Him and Bedard really, not that Philly is on Bedard's level, but So it's tough to see him like with that injury as well. It'll be interesting to see kind of how long that takes if they bring him back soon. I could almost maybe seeing, Megna and maybe the Blackhawks find something a little bit if they waive Beauvillier or even trade him again. I feel like he could turn into one of those guys that becomes like a trade piece now, maybe bouncing around through a few teams. Overall, though, I understand that with the injury, the placing him on IR and Jacob Megna, he's not really anything special per se either. Not that really anyone on the Blackhawks is, with of course the exception of Bedard right now, but I feel like the Hawks are just kind of trying to get through the season at this point, because even with Bedard, I feel like we didn't really expect a whole lot from them. I mean, maybe they go on an incredible kind of run and sneak into the playoffs, but it looks like they might be one of those top lottery teams again. And who knows, they might kind of just start to go full rebuild here and try to just acquire the top draft picks, I guess, make a few moves than that too, bringing some veterans in. But definitely kind of an interesting move. Like you said, not necessarily like the biggest or most major news, but this could kind of turn into something down the road, I feel like, for Chicago.
Flyers up 1-0 on the Blue Jackets now. Let me see who scored it. Travis Konecny with his 19th goal of the season. So there's your score update. But, I respect it, Brady. That was the absolute nicest way possible you could say that the Blackhawks are absolute junk. I thought it was very, very eloquent, very well stated. They just need to go the Edmonton Oilers route, all right? Get as many number one picks as you can the next 5 years. Get Connor Bedard some help because, man, I think he's an incredible player. I think he's point per game on a team where your second best scorer is Philip Kurashov, which is, not a very good sign for your team. He's got 15 goals a season, so he can get around a 30-goal season. But, this team, any chance they had of doing something this season, Brady, ended when I decided to go, out of left field and pick him to make the playoffs, because I was I'm a Bedard fanboy. What can I say? So any chance they had to be, not absolutely terrible, that went out the window. But, maybe, like you said, maybe they'll win the lottery again. Maybe they'll get another number one pick. Maybe they can get Gavin McKenna or someone like that in the top five. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, congrats to Jacob Megna for getting claimed. Gonna be honest, I don't know much about you other than the fact that you're Jason's brother and you're a defenseman. So, there you go. You're playing on the Blackhawks. You could probably get top four ice time. And there you go. Good for him. But, I haven't asked you this yet. What were your thoughts on that Bo Horvat trade? Because when I saw it, I thought I wasn't too sure about it, because I do like Horvat. I think he's, really good. He's incredible defensively. He's great on the faceoff dot. But to me, I thought the Islanders were – How do I say this? He was having a career year offensively, and the Canucks wanted to sell him while they could get as much as they could. And I think he's a good player, but I don't know if he's a guy that, I would trade as much as the Islanders did for. And they give him an 8-year extension right away. So, what were your takeaways from that move?
Yeah, well, I wasn't surprised. Lou Lamorelli kind of just does everything out of left field, just out of nowhere. I remember my friend told me we traded for him, and I was really excited. I'm a big Bo Horvat guy. I do agree, though, with basically everything you said. But I think it's kind of worked out for us. Although once I heard that Beauvillier was one of the guys going, I was kind of upset. I didn't know how to feel about it. But I think Horvat's fit in nicely with Barzal for the most part. Last year he joined the team, Barzal got hurt almost immediately. He didn't do too much, and you know, the team slid into the playoffs and kind of got eliminated immediately. But this year, I think they've been very good as a duo. And I think in general, he's just had obviously not quite the year he had last season where he was scoring all those goals with the Canucks and everything. But I think he's had another pretty good year. He's definitely contributed a bit on that top line for the Islanders with Barzal. And I mean, it changes a little bit once in a while. Right now it's Anders Lee, who's usually up there with them. But overall, we also gave Atu Ratu, which kind of just got called up, and he was playing pretty well for us. I was a huge fan of that draft pick too. I was surprised kind of we got him when he dropped, but he kind of went to Vancouver, went down to the minors quickly, and he hasn't really been around since. I want to say like we won the trade, I guess, because that's, you know, everyone's got to find out who like won the trade looking back on it. I guess we'll see. I'm overall at this point in time pretty happy with it, I guess. It sucks to see what's happening with Beauvillier and Ratu kind of struggling to find their way back with some of these other teams. But for the Islanders, I think it ended up at least in this point of time being a good trade. But I guess we'll still have to see in the future a little bit as well.
Yeah, when I first saw that trade, I think another takeaway I had, and I'm glad you reminded me of it, was I was surprised when they traded Ratu because, like you said, that draft, when he slipped, I think he was in the early second round, I was really surprised because I honestly thought talent-wise, he's one of the best in the whole draft, and that he should have easily gone in at latest, like the middle of the first round. And I don't know why, but he just slipped, and they're just snagging him up. I was like, damn, you know, that's a really good pick. I do understand why they went for Horvat, though, because, you know, like I said earlier, I think they've always, at least the past couple of years, you know, they've been looking for, you know, that top level forward talent. And no disrespect to Brock Nelson at all, I think he's a really good player. But when Brock Nelson's your leading scorer on the team last season, I think there's a bit of an issue. I think you need a bit more than that. I think Barzal coming back has been big as well because he's a stud, man. He's an elite player. And yet in Horvat, and Nelson's doing his thing. And then you got one of the most underrated defensemen in the whole league and Noah Dobson as well contributing offensively too. You know, I think there is something solid there, but I'm glad I could finally, you know, hear your thoughts on that because I have been meaning to ask you about that. I just kept forgetting because, you know, memory sucks ass. But, all right, last segment before we kind of do Team of the Week here. The Winter Classic happened on New Year's Day, which obviously did not watch it, and I'm sure a lot of people were busy at the time, but those that did watch it, they're probably regretting that they did because this game, unfortunately, was obviously it was a great spectacle. I mean, the Winter Classic always is. Love the Winter Classic. It's a very great atmosphere. But this game was not even close. The Kraken just, you know, basically dominated from start to finish in this one, Brady. Tolvanen had 2 points a game. I believe he had a goal and an assist, if I remember right. And Joey Dackert, I think, had 35 saves or something like that. And he got the shutout as well. But, you know, I don't know if you watched this game, Brady. If you didn't, you know, no big deal. But do you have any thoughts on how the Winter Classic went this year?
I was kind of watching it. Obviously, it did mix with the college football playoff a little bit. And I was more so focused on that. But, yeah, from what I was kind of watching, it wasn't the greatest game. I mean, it was close in score for, you know, a period of time, but I don't know what it was. It just didn't necessarily kind of when I was watching the game, like feel all that exciting. And I mean, Vegas just couldn't really do much at all. And the Kraken definitely had, I feel like more good chances and all that. They were definitely outplaying Vegas, but maybe I would have liked a little bit more scoring, I guess. Like I said, it wasn't the most exciting game, but Joey Decord had an incredible performance with the shutout, the first shutout in Winter Classic history, which is a little bit surprising now because we've had quite a bit of them at this point. Ely Tolvanen, he's had a pretty good season for the Kraken, who, of course, made the playoffs for the first time last season. And they're kind of hovering around in the hunt once again. one point at the moment, out of a wild card, although they're competing with a lot of teams right now. So they just kind of feel like one of those teams too, that that's pretty talented. They're not like one of the top teams, but they're going to be one of those teams battling around the wild card. For Vegas, I mean, it was a tough game. They didn't really play well at all. I don't think this is necessarily something that they should be worried about. Obviously, it's a tough showing on national TV in like the Winter Classic game for the season, but they have fallen back down to earth slightly, but they've still been playing good hockey. 2 points behind Vancouver right now for the top spot in the Pacific. But yeah, wasn't the most exciting game. I am excited though for the next outdoor games at MetLife. I'll actually be there for the Islanders Rangers game. I think those two could be good games, especially that the Flyers are still as competitive as they are come February. But for this game, like I said, wasn't the most exciting, but good win for the Kraken there as they're, you know, trying to make that push for the playoffs.
Yep. Good win. But like you said, another thing I didn't even think of, same day as the college football playoff, which is obviously very tough to compete with. Unfortunately, my guys were not in it, but we did absolutely smash FSU's fourth string. So that was fun to see. Fun to see Alabama lose as well. Terrible play call in overtime, but you know, it is what it is. And Michael Penix is the man, pretty much. But interesting game. Good win for the Kraken. I'm still not sure what to think of the Kraken. You know, I think it's always hard to kind of predict what these young teams do when they have a breakout season like the Kraken did last season. And, you know, they're kind of 500 this year. So it's kind of like, I don't know yet whether they're going to go on a run and do something this season or if they're going to fall off. And, you know, it's going to kind of, I know it's not their sophomore season, but kind of like a sophomore slump after, you know, their breakout last season. Vegas, I still think is a very good team. I mean, they still have, you know, really good odds of, I wouldn't say good odds of repeating, but they have as good a chance of anybody. I just think it's very competitive at the top. But, you know, I think they're a very good team, and, you know, it's just kind of a one-off. Every team has these one-off games, pretty much. 4-2 Penguins, end of the first. Lars Eller scoring. That's an interesting one. Jeremy Swayman, man. 12 saves on 16 shots against. He is struggling right now. Crosby and Letang both with two assists as well. So there you go. Buffalo, Montreal is still scoreless end of the first quarter. And the other two games are both still 1-0 in favor of the Rangers and the Flyers. So, you know, those Metro teams still winning as always. Very annoying, but it is what it is. Real quick before we move on to Team of the Week, I have not been keeping up too close with the All-Stars. I saw Shesterkin made it, but I haven't been. Have you been keeping up with any of that?
Not really. I just kind of saw here right before we went on that they were like announcing, I think the first 32, I think it's one player from each team right now. Yep. Then they're going to have like a vote, for like the rest of the teams.
Okay. So I got it up here on ESPN. The ones that have been at least revealed so far, Bruins Pasternak, Sabres Dahlin, Hurricanes Aho, Blue Jackets Boone Jenner with 18 points, DeBrincat for Detroit. Sam Reinhart for the Panthers. That's an interesting one. He's been great, though, this season, man. 24 goals. He's been incredible. Nick Suzuki, Canadiens. Devils, obviously, Jack Hughes. Islanders, Barzal, not surprising. Rangers, Shesterkin. Senators, Brady Tkachuk. Konechny for the Flyers. Sidney Crosby for the Pens. Kucherov, I mean, that's the easiest one. He's been the best player in the league this season for the Lightning. Matthews for the Leafs. And Tom Wilson. My buddy, my good friend, Tom Wilson for the Washington Capitals. That's all I see on there right now. So we'll see how that goes as it goes on. But interesting names. But, yeah, we're going to do Team of the Week now and kind of wrap this show up. Now, I believe you went first last week. So we'll kind of alternate. I will go first this week for this one. I got my notes up here to kind of explain why I chose every player. This team of the week was very easy. There are a lot of weeks where it's like, man, I don't know who to put for this spot. This was one of the easiest team of the weeks I've ever done in my life. I thought there were, you know, There was one spot I was really debating, but the other five were pretty easy for me. So I'll go ahead and put mine up. Let me go ahead and get rid of this banner real quick. Now, I know we had a lot of overlap, but I'll kind of, you know, describe each guy as I go. So Connor McDavid, first one, he had 2 goals and 7 assists for the week. By the way, this is the week of, I believe it's 12/27 to January 3rd. McDavid had 9 points over the week. He was a +8, had a 20% shooting percentage. And, you know, Brady, you know, something that people like to try and knock, you know, McDavid about is his defense. I know I've done that in the past, but this week, won 55% of his pace loss. And you know what? He added 4 hits as well. So, you know, a guy you never expect to be physical, doing a little bit of everything this week, you know, best player in the league. And I know he's kind of flown under the radar a bit because, you know, he's had quote unquote an off season where he's not, you know, leading the league in scoring by 50 points, but you know, he's still right up there in the mix and he's just, you know, week in, week out, and the Oilers are finally starting to play pretty decent. So I think he's going to, you know, maybe get a bit more attention as the season goes along. But next two guys, these were also ridiculous easy. Sebastian Aho was my first guy on the team sheet. Wasn't even close. 12 points for the week, I believe in 4 games played. I did not write down the games played, but I think it was 4. He had 2 goals and 10 assists. He was a +5. And get this, Brady, this is an incredible stat. In all 4 of the games he played the past week, he had a game-winning point. He had 1 game-winning goal and 3 game-winning assists, which is just absolutely incredible. He was directly involved on every single game-winning goal for his team the past week. That's just incredible. 22.2% shooting percentage, which is very good as well. And he won just under 53% of his faceoffs. Third forward, on the right wing, you got Andrei Svechnikov. He's clearly not concerned at all about coming back from the injury sustained last season. He looks red hot lately. He had 6 goals in the past 4 games, which led the week overall in the NHL. And he also added 3 assists for 9 points, +5. And, you know, he was finishing off those game-winning assists from Aho because he had 3 game-winning goals on the week, which, you know, 3 game-winning goals in 4 games, just a ridiculous mark. Those two were just absolutely hitting on all cylinders in the past week. And here's another insane stat, Brady. 6 goals on only 11 shots. That's a 54.55% shooting percentage, which is just absolutely ridiculous. He also added 9 hits and had 1 block shot. So, you know, doing a bit of everything as well. Defensively, one of these guys I got right away. The second one was pretty tough. So the one I struggled a bit was Keandre Miller. I thought about putting a couple guys in here, but I went with Miller because, you know, while I think there are better offensive performances, I thought he actually did really well defensively as well. He had 11 hits and 3 block shots, but he also added in 4 points, 2 goals and 2 assists. He was a +5. And all of his points coming, you know, from even strength. So, you know, pretty solid week for Keandre Miller. I think there are definitely a lot of guys you could have put in that second spot. But one guy that I definitely wanted to make sure was on my team was Chris Letang. Now, I've criticized this guy a lot the past, you know, couple years because I think, you know, I don't like him defensively. And obviously he's getting up there. I hate his contract. But for the past week, man, and I don't have to tell you a lot about, you know, this as an Islanders fan, but I'll go ahead and read it off anyway. He had 6 assists on December 27th in a 7-0 win over the New York Islanders, as well as an NHL record, 5 assists in 1 period by a defenseman, never been done before. He was a +6 in the game, and he was a +8 for the week overall. 24.5 minutes average time on ice, which is, for how, you know, he's getting up there in age, I think is pretty remarkable. He also added 3 hits and 7 block shots. And all of his points were at even strength. No power play merchant status here for Chris Letang. Incredible record-breaking week for him. Like I said earlier, he's also added 2 assists tonight against the Bruins, so he's keeping that play going. And, you know, look, if he can just, you know, cut down the turnovers a little bit and, you know, maybe defend a little better. I mean, the offense has always been there. He's always been an incredible offensive player, and he showed that over the past week. And Stuart Skinner as my goalie. This was a little tough as well, but I ended up giving Skinner the nod over a couple of other guys. I know Hellebuck had a really good week. I think it was Gustafson had a good week as well. Martin Jones as well, who's one of my honorable mentions. But I gave Skinner the nod. 956 save percentage, 86 saves on 90 shots the past 3 games. He also had a shutout, 1.30 goals against average. Really good week for the stash. You know, it never fails. We criticized the Oilers goaltending the last show. And then Skinner goes on an incredible run, but it's just see how he does as the season goes because he had some really good weeks, really good moments last year as well. And then came the playoffs, and it was just the same old Oilers pretty much. So we'll see what happens there. Honorable mentions, Artemi Panarin. I think he had like 8 points in the week. I don't have his exact stats written down, but he had a really good week. Brent Burns, I believe, was tied with Chris Letang for the most points as a defenseman over the past week. And Martin Jones, who, like I said, I think, you know, past week has been absolutely incredible for them. So that's my team of the week. We're going to put yours up here now. You got Jake Guentzel, which is a pick that I obviously love. You have Aho and Svechnikov. Luke Hughes. This is the first time we've ever had Luke Hughes on the team of the week. We've had both of the other Hughes, but not Luke Hughes. Chris Letang, Stuart Skinner, and then Honorable Davis, you get Honorable McDavids. I swear to God, man. Honorable mentions, you got Connor McDavid, Brent Burns, and Connor Hellebuck. So go ahead, Brady. Take it away. Explain your picks this week for team of the week.
So left wing, I put Jake Guentzel. He ended up having 7 points on the week, three goals, four assists. I saw two of those goals happen about 15 seconds apart from each other. He scored. We called the timeout. He got the breakaway, scored again. But like you said, or like we were really talking about at the beginning of the show, the Penguins starting to pick up their play here over the last few weeks. And Jake Guentzel, along with Chris Letang and Tristan Jarry and those guys, have definitely picked up their game big time and been a huge part of that. And so Jake Guentzel, really good offensively this week as well. We obviously, you just mentioned these two guys, so I'll go over it quick. But Sebastian Aho has been absolutely on fire right now for the Hurricanes, who have been on fire. 12 points on the week. Of course, only two goals really, but he has been dominant with the 10 assists. Just not much you can say other than really an outstanding week. Of course, you mentioned a lot of it already, but Andrei Svechnikov as well, kind of feeding off that chemistry with Aho. He ended up with 9 points, six of those goals. And I mean, I was watching their game a few nights ago. It was the game against the Rangers where they won 6-1, and we all know how good of a season the Rangers are having. But early on, it was kind of close, but then those two really just took over and completely dominated, and they've really been doing that for the last week or so. The Canes, as they really have been the last few seasons, expected to kind of be up there as one of the top Eastern Conference teams. They struggled a little bit heading into like the month of December a little bit. They were kind of hovering in the middle of the pack, more so than the top. But of course, now they're in second place, and those two guys have really been the two top really main catalysts for them, propelling them there. I did go with Luke Hughes for left defenseman. It was kind of tough. There were a few guys, of course. I want to maybe change it up a little bit, give him the due credit. The Devil's starting to pick things up a little bit as well. And Luke Hughes, 5 points. He's had a pretty good season overall for the Devils as well. Mm-hmm. And for a team that's kind of struggled a little bit at times, of course, they're not quite where they were really kind of projected to be this season, but did have an assist against Washington last night in a 6-3 victory. That was a big divisional game for both teams, of course, both kind of the middle of the pack. He did have a goal in the losing effort to Boston, but he has points in four straight games now, had a 3-point game against Ottawa, did have a goal against Columbus as well. So not necessarily didn't really have a like elite week that maybe some of the other guys did, but I definitely think he deserved a little bit more credit there, playing a big part on the Devils' back end for a team that was kind of struggling early in the season. He's been a really big part for them at really such a young age, too. The Devils in general are a very young team. Chris Letang, I had to go with him as well. just a great week, of course, that first game against the Islanders, setting records. He played outstanding pretty much throughout that whole second period. Every time the puck was on a stick, it was one way or another eventually going to get into the back of the net. And he continued that really throughout the week, of course, maybe not to that extent, but just another great game or week rather offensively for Chris Letang, who, like you said, he's maybe a bit on the older side now as well, but he still got it at least on the offensive side. Mm-hmm. feel like he, I mean, I don't watch as much Penguins hockey, obviously, but maybe picking it up a little bit more on the defensive side, but still has to kind of work on that a little bit as well. But he's been really a huge part for this kind of Penguins run here that they're on, of course, with Jake Guentzel and those guys. I did go with Stuart Skinner as well. I just thought it was funny, as you mentioned, that because we're kind of clowning on the Oilers, that suddenly Stuart Skinner has a great week, 3-0-1, 956 save percentage. And the Oilers, another team struggling heavily early on the season, really starting to kick things into gear. And that's a really big week for a team that really doesn't have, I guess Stu Skinner's their number one goalie, but obviously he's not necessarily one of those like definitive goalies, but just a huge week for him confidence wise and leading those Oilers really back into heavy contention now. In the Western Conference, they are still a point out of the wild card spot, right behind the Coyotes. Don't have to worry about that. The Coyotes are going to lose later on tonight, but probably not. But yeah, huge, huge week for Stuart Skinner. Only four goals allowed throughout those four games, so that's a really big one for him and the Oilers' goaltending situation. Of course, you had Connor McDavid. I decided to throw him on my honorable mentions. Only two goals and seven assists this week. Only 9 points for Connor McDavid. Maybe a down week for him, but even when it's a down week for him, I mean, it's still a great week. And he was kind of still right up there, of course, with some of the leaders. I wanted to spotlight some of the other guys, but just another great week for him as well. Brent Burns, kind of wanted to throw him in there too. Of course, Aho and Svechnikov, those two guys have been really flawless with their chemistry over the last week or so. But on the back end too, of course, the Hurricanes have a very strong defense with Burns, Slavin, those guys. And Brent Burns this week, one goal, five assists, 6 points, maybe not quite jumping out at you, but he definitely has played a role on that back end, both on the offensive side and the defensive side. Of course, he's a physical presence as well. Overall, just the full 200 feet, he had a very good week. The 38-year-old defenseman now for the Hurricanes. Another great week for him on the defensive side of things. And then I went with Connor Hellebuck too. I feel like he's had a great year. I feel like he's still kind of flown under the radar almost to some extent, though.
Yes.
Because maybe he's like a step below, you know, kind of the superstar goalies to some extent, like Vasilevsky, Sorokin, Shesterkin, all those guys with their name value. But Hellebuck's been around now, and he's consistently, for the most part, has been up there and close to one of those top goalies in the league. This week, 2-0-0, 937 save percentage, made 89 saves, 6 goals allowed. But the Jets, of course, have had themselves a pretty good season so far. They're now second in the Central, 1 point behind Colorado for that top spot, and he's been huge for them, of course, this last week now, jumping the Stars and getting them into that second spot. They're now 2 points ahead of the Stars, but he's been a great backstop for them really throughout the whole season, but I think this week he really showed why he should honestly get more, I guess, for lack of a better word, respect. I mean, a lot of people that watch a lot of hockey, they know how good he is, but I do feel like he hasn't been talked about as much this season.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's been the case most of his career. And I'll be honest, Brady, I think the main reason is he plays in Winnipeg. I think if he played for Toronto, people would talk about him like he's next coming to Patrick Waugh, but he does not. And, you know, I think with the guys that you mentioned, the three Russians, that, you know, I think that he kind of always flies on the radar, but he's always been, you know, top 5 to 10 at the least, you know, pretty much his whole career. I think he's been absolutely amazing, and that has continued this season. I think, you know, anything the Jets do is going to be because of him. I also completely agree with you. Our jinxing powers are incredible. We just need to criticize the Oilers goaltending, and Stuart Skinner will stand on his head. It's remarkable, but really like your choices. Obviously, there was a lot of overlap, but, you know, I do think it was a bit of an easier week to pick some of these guys. I mean, Aho and Svechnikov just went ballistic. Same thing with Letang. He made Islanders fans very sad the past couple of days. But and my buddy Josh Lane. Shout out to Josh Lane, by the way. I don't know if I've mentioned this yet since you've been here, Brady. Made the intro music for our Pucking Around intro video. So shout out to him. But I did convert him into becoming a Pens fan. Unfortunately, he decided to do it when we're probably on the decline. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, that's all we got scheduled for tonight. Little bit of a slower interaction tonight, but no big deal. That happens sometimes. Is there anything you want to kind of say, Brady, here before we wrap it up for the night?
Not really. Maybe we should kind of jump on the Islanders, though. Hopefully that'll flip the switch for them a little bit.
Yeah, the Islanders ain't it, man. I think they're going to fall off soon.
Let's see. Yeah, I think so. no, but yeah, obviously a huge part of it. A huge point, really, in the season right now. We just got the All-Star rosters. Winter Classic just happened. This is kind of when, even if you're a casual hockey fan, too, to start tuning in, because this is when teams really start to kick into high gear. Trade deadline still a few months away, but we're going to start to, I guess, keep an eye on that now, of course, as things progress and move, as we're moving really into the second half of the season and eventually into the playoff push. So, now is definitely a fun time to watch. I'm really excited to see, even within the next few weeks, I feel like there's going to be so much change within the standings and all that as well. I think this season has been great in almost every conference. I mean, especially well, there's only two conferences in every division, but both conferences, all that as well, things have been pretty tight, of course, especially the East. Like, you could go from, like, the number three seed to like the number six seed in like one night, but it's definitely a fun time to be a hockey fan.
Definitely, man. It's very competitive league. I think the league has been in one of the best places it's ever been, and I think it's been pretty stable for a while now. There haven't been those ruts like with Tom Brady coming out and saying, "Oh, the NFL is so mediocre now," or yeah, I know you're a big baseball guy. The Dodgers with their absolute super team, they're going to win like 140 games. It's going to be insane. And then the NBA, don't get me started on the super teams they've had in the past, you know, 10, 15 years. But yeah, the NHL, I think, has always been a league that, and look, there have been dynasties here and there, but I think overall with how physical the game is and, you know, how tough the playoffs are in general, I think there's more parity, even if you do see teams win back to back or whatever. So I think that's another reason it's exciting. And plus, I mean, it's a freaking, as my good buddy, Fonz DeFalco, fellow Reebian preview member, they're skating on knives out there. That's what he loves to say. And it's true. And they're doing it at 180 miles per hour, hitting each other, you know, 110 mile per hour slap shots coming out of goalie. It's just nuts, man. But you know, that's part of why I love it. And I think that's part of why a lot of people love it. But yes, you're right. The trades and moves are going to pick up, so we'll keep doing those transaction ports on a probably, you know, bi-weekly basis. But yeah, from myself, Noah Dibler, resident Pens fan, and my co-host and good buddy, Brady Campbell, resident Islanders fan, it's been another episode of Pucking Around here on the Preview Sports Network. Until we see you next time, enjoy your hockey, stay safe, enjoy 2024, and keep pucking around.